It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table.
All right, we are back at the table. We are on day two, or part two, if you will, of our study on Proverbs 31, verse 17, and titling this, She Can Dress Herself. Now, in this segment, Sunny Shell is here with us, and Sunny, we're doing She Dresses Herself with Strength. And just appreciate this Bible study. This one has, more Bible verses in here that you can click on when you download this than most of the others do. This is so rich. You've taken us all over the Bible in this one, aren't you?
I have, because all of God's Word, as he says, is in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says it's all good for reproof, for teaching, for training up in righteousness, so that the man or the woman of God can grow and be mature. So, yes, this one has a lot, and I do cover 7 points that I wanted to make here in how she dresses herself with strength, so I'll go over those.
All right.
And I'll just quickly give some of the references for the gals if they want to look it up, or actually, again, they can download these lessons and they can have that themselves if they don't get it written down. So this is how a biblically submissive woman, a biblical woman of God, dresses herself today with strength. And it's not with a cape, not with a power suit, not with anything that we were thinking that's of this world, because if we claim to be daughters of the Most High God, we're going to, of course, dress ourselves with strength, in which he defines is strength. So that's where we're going to go. So here are 7 points that I wanted to make.
All right.
The first thing that she does is she dresses herself with strength by the Word of God. And we can find that in Psalm 1, 1 through 3, Ecclesiastes 12, 11, 1 Timothy 4, 6, 2 Timothy 2, 15, and 3, 16, which is one of the ones that I just quoted.
Yes.
She also, to dress herself with strength, she also puts on the full armor of God, and that is found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. She dresses herself with the joy of Christ. That's in John 15, 10 through 11, Romans 14, 17. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, and James 1, 2 through 4. She dresses herself with strength by the peace of Christ. And that you will find that in John 14, 27, John 10, 30, and Philippians 4, 7. She also dresses herself with strength with the humility of Christ. And we'll find examples of those in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And chapter 62, verse 2, in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, Romans 12, 16 through 21, and 1 Peter 2, verse 23. She also dresses herself with strength, with the attitude of Christ, which can be found in Romans 12, 1 through 3, and Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. She also dresses herself with strength, with the wisdom from the Holy Spirit, not from this world or what she thinks or what a Bible study teacher told her, but by the Holy Spirit. And you can find that in Ecclesiastes 7, 5, chapters 8 through 10, and 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16, chapter 3, 18 through 21, and in James 3, 13 through 17. I wanted to share Isaiah 53, 2, the very first part of that, where he says, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. And this is, of course, Isaiah prophesying about Christ. And so we have to remember that what was spoken about our Savior is that the way he physically looked, the way he physically carried himself, wasn't in such a way that as human beings that we would look at him with earthly eyes and say, ooh, I want to be his friend.
Yeah.
He looks like someone of power or influence that I want to follow. According to Scripture, according to God himself, when he brought himself in human form as Christ our Lord, he made it so that his form had no majesty. There was no particular beauty. He didn't have a power suit on. He wasn't the guy with the hair slicked back and had a CEO or a bunch of other initials behind his name. He was just a regular person. He grew up in Nazareth, a poor little town, was a humble carpenter's adopted son, and he didn't have any place to live. You know, Christ our Lord, who is creator of all, everything's made by him, through him, and for him, and held together by him, claimed to own, even though he owned everything, created everything, he claimed nothing while he was here. He didn't have a home. He didn't have fancy clothes. He didn't have friends in high places. Of course, you can't get any higher than him because he is God.
Right. So,
but, you know, we often, when we think of dressing ourselves with strength, unfortunately, you know, as women, even in the church, and I want to speak specifically in the church, what has your experience been, Amy, when you think of a strong woman in the church, and you hear about women talking about strong women in the church, what kind of adjectives come about her, or what kind of things do people say that define her, that she's the strong woman that people want to follow?
Well, I think most typically, you know, you kind of think of the put together woman who acts put together but looks put together, and it looks like she doesn't, you know, she's got it all going on, and she, you know, she makes it look pretty easy, you know, and you don't really realize that you're looking at it with fleshly eyes. You're looking at it with the way the world has always judged what women look like, and so instead of looking at does she prepare herself spiritually, as you've just really, I love the way you've laid this out. She dresses herself with strength. I mean, this is, we could relabel this and do an article titled How to Get Dressed in the Morning for the Christian Woman.
I love that. That's great.
But it is. These are, I mean, it's very biblically based. You've got scripture all over the place describing each one. And in case you're just tuning in, I want to recap these and ask you a question, Sunny. This is how you dress yourself with strength. First of all, first and foremost, with the Word of God, the full armor of God is number two, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, the humility of Christ, the attitude of Christ, and the wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you this, Sunny, in your experience of spiritually mothering or mentoring other women so that they can do the same, are there any one or several of these that women generally tend to forget to put on in the morning?
Yes, the first one.
The Word of God. That makes sense. If you don't have that, how in the world are you going to get, you'll be walking out the door naked.
Yeah, that's true. And I tell them that most of the time. I go, you know, you've walked out of the door naked, and you should be pretty embarrassed to know you've just showed yourself to everybody. If you notice, it is in a particular order. It's in the form of the Trinity. My list, actually, it's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's in the order, again, as God has given us the order. So we want to keep everything in His order, define all things in our lives by Christ, who has defined everything perfectly, because He is the author of all things. Mm. So if we don't start with the Word of God, you know what? You're not going to put on the armor of God, because where is the armor of God?
It's in the Word
of God. Right? So everything goes with the other. And obviously, if you don't put the armor of God on, you won't have the joy of Christ. If you don't have that, you won't find peace. And if you don't have Christ's peace, you won't be humble like He is. And you obviously don't have His attitude. And if that's the case, when the Holy Spirit, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 10, is trying to explain to you what God means in His Word, you're not going to hear it.
There are no shortcuts to getting dressed with this, dressing yourself with the full strength of God in this method, is there?
No, there isn't. You've got to stay with the Word of God by yourself. And again, as we started in the beginning, it's not by reading a devotional that somebody else wrote. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do devotionals. I use devotionals. Mm-hmm. But one of the ways that I will do it is, one of my favorite devotionals is Drawing Near by John MacArthur. Mm. And he always starts with a scripture verse. And so what I do is I get that scripture verse, and I actually just look at what the reference is, and I close my devotional. And I open my Bible, I read that verse, and then I read the entire chapter that verse is found in, so that, knowing that I, as a woman, can be deceived, so that I might better have the context in which God is wanting me to learn that verse. Mm. And then after I have filled myself with that entire chapter, and of course sometimes as I'm in the chapter, I get kind of interested or have a question about something else, and next thing I know I'm in another chapter and another chapter and another book in the Bible, and I've probably been through like three or four before I actually get back to the devotional, or before my devotional time is up if I have an appointment. Sometimes I don't even end up reading the devotional that John MacArthur wrote, because I've used all my time, you know, in the Word of God. And, you know, if you want to err on one side or the other.
Yeah, go for the Word of God and leave the devotional for another time, maybe.
Exactly. And so I will get to the devotional after I have satisfied my soul at the Lord's table. Mm. And then I will hear what man has to say about it. Because, see, when we do that, John MacArthur, although I love him, he's a fallible human being, as he says that he is, and not everything that he's going to say may be right. Now, if I haven't been in the Word of God and sat at the Lord's table first, I will not recognize whether what Pastor MacArthur's feeding me is man's food or God's food.
And we need to have that discerning taste palate, if you will, since we're talking about food. I mean, you have to know the difference. If you're just eating a three-minute devotional written by somebody years ago and you never even look at the Bible, you just say, oh, yeah, Romans 2 must say that, you know, because this Bible person told me, that's not a good way to do it.
That's not a good way. That's why Scripture says in Psalm 37, you taste. Mm-hmm. And see that the Lord is good. It didn't say, trust somebody else's taste.
Yeah.
But you taste, that's a command, that's specific to you. You taste and see that the Lord is good. And so if you taste and see that the Lord is good by being in the Word of the Lord first, when you read a devotional by anybody else or listen to a snippet of something here and there, you will be able to discern what is of God and what isn't. And that's promised to us in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 13. Where God tells us that it is by the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things, you know, the Spirit that God's given us to seal us until the time of redemption, that as His children, He does want us to understand His mind and who He is. And, you know, we have that promise in that passage that actually says, and we have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sunny, I want to end this segment by encouraging the women at this table that, where do you get discernment? Well, it's not from a radio show or somebody's devotional, or it's not from somebody's podcast. It's actually from being in the Word of God, and that's how you dress yourself with strength. So we've just finished up day two of Proverbs 31:17, She Can Dress Herself. Sunny Shell, tomorrow you're going to walk us through She Makes Her Arms Strong. I'm very excited for that one. Thank you. Thanks for being at the table, Sunny.
Oh, it's always fun.
It is. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Until then, thank you very much, and we will be right back.